There's a lot of bits in red here. Just going to pray for Holly. Father, just thank you so much for Holly. I thank you that she's who she is in you and who you are in her. And I just ask that as she's prepared this morning that you speak to our hearts. You challenge us, but as well you draw us to you in the way that only you can. Amen.
Amen. Am I on? Am I live? Oh, yes, I am. Thank you. Okay. I went to get the microphone at the back and I switched it on and I'm saying to Matt, there's no little red light. Why is there no little red light? He said, trust me. So I'm trusting. I'm in your hands, Matt. It's a novel concept. Okay. Thank you guys for this morning. That was lovely. I really enjoyed the worship and it just took me places. So thank you. We do have an amazing team here. We're very privileged. And thank you, Ian. That gives me a bouncing off point. I have to say, preparing for this morning, I found this one of the harder preaches that I've prepared because the subject of obedience, I think, is one that's often misunderstood and that is twisted in our minds, and we end up being more condemned than freed. And one of my passions, for those that know me, is about people knowing who they are and knowing how free they are. Jesus came to set us free. And so obedience is not something that should weigh on you and you go out of here with your head bowed and like, oh my word, I've got so much wrong. And my prayer this morning is that you do not go away with that. That absolutely that is not my intention this morning. And more to the point, it's not God's intention this morning. But what is obedience? I found this, which I liked. Obedience is the mark of authentic surrender to God's authority in any matter. So it's about what does God say? And surrendering to what God says. It's about what we do, yes, but it's also about what we think, what we believe. It says in James 1:22, but be doers of the word, not just hearers. And I don't know about you, but that for me is a massive challenge. I can hear stuff, I can be struck by things in the worship. I can be struck by things that people have said. Martin's preached last week about what are you investing in. All of those things can speak to my heart. But what do I do with that? Do I just go, wow, that was a really good preach? Or wow, that was amazing. And then go home and I'm exactly the same. Do I live exactly the same as the people who live next door to me who don't know Jesus? Or is there a difference? So when we think about this whole thing about obedience, why on earth should we obey what it says in the Bible that was written all those years ago? Why on earth should we obey what God says? We can't see him, and lots of people think we're a bit nuts for doing so. Actually, we've heard so much this morning about why we should obey this God. His love for you is immense. I can't comprehend. This morning, I was thinking about it this morning, that concept of Jesus setting his face to go to Jerusalem and riding into Jerusalem this morning with all that acclaim, all those people going, wow, you're amazing, knowing that those same people in a few days would be saying, crucify him, knowing what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem and going, I want these people. I love them with a passion. His passion is for you. He loves you with a passion that is unreal. And he set his face to go to Jerusalem to die for you because he loves you. And it's in that context that I set all this stuff about being obedient to God. It says in Isaiah 48, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the paths that you should follow. Oh, that you had listened to my commands, and then you would have had peace flowing like a gentle river and righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea. Why should we obey? Because God loves us immensely and because he is incapable of making a mistake with your life. I don't know about you, but I've made some fairly crashing mistakes with my life. And they weren't at times when I was following God's path. Obedience to God's authority not only brings peace, like a river, it says here. Peace in abundance flowing through your life. You know that you're on the right path. And there's nothing of worry. There's nothing of burden on you. It's stress-free. And righteousness, like the waves of the sea. God's way is the right way. He made you. He created each of us as individuals. He knows exactly what is the right way for you to live. He has the perfect path for you. And the only peaceful way to live in our chaotic world. You can begin this authentic life of peace today if you'd like to. Right now, you can begin this life if you haven't already. And I recommend it. Surrendering every single part of our life and every concern of our heart to this all-powerful, all-sufficient, all-knowing Creator. Apparently, when you fly aeroplanes, there are, I imagine, not visible, but corridors in the sky. They're called flight corridors or flight paths, and you have to fly within them. The corridors are there to protect the planes from crashing into each other. Now, you could, I suppose, if you were a pilot with a bit of a rebellious streak, fly outside of the flight corridor. Go, no, I don't want to go along this path today. I want to go over there. But actually, it wouldn't be a very wise decision. You're likely to crash into another aeroplane. And for me, the things in the Bible that God says to do are a bit like that. They're like flight corridors. This is the way for a safe journey through life. If we keep his commands, if we keep within his corridors, we are safe. But we have a choice. God is big on choice. There were two trees in the garden. And we can think that actually if we'd been there, we probably wouldn't have eaten the apple. But he gives us the choice. Before Christ, before you came to know Christ, if you're a Christian this morning, you were a slave to sin. You had no choice. You were under that rule. But if you are a Christian today, if you have accepted Jesus into your life and you know him as your Lord and Savior, you have a choice. You don't have to sin. Sin is doing life in any way without God. It's saying, I'm going to make the rules for my own life. I'm going to make my own flight corridors. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I've made my own flight corridors, they've gone a bit haywire. It's not about what am I allowed to do. That's the wrong question. You have a choice. You always have a choice. It's about whether you choose the choice that brings life. It's about his choice will always be the wisest choice. There's a verse in Colossians chapter 3 that says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And often when we're doing something or living in a way that is not right, we aren't at peace and that peace isn't ruling in our hearts. So the first command, if you like, or the first thing that Jesus says to you is follow me. And if you haven't started at that point today, please don't leave without contemplating that request. He says, follow me. He leads you into safe places. He leads you into an abundant life. Life with Jesus is amazing. It's incredible. It is the most fulfilling, the most satisfying life. It's exciting. And he leads you into peace. I have a peace that I could not describe, and sometimes completely outside of circumstances. It doesn't make sense. I look at the circumstances and I feel like God's keeping me in a little bubble. But it's because I'm keeping my eye on him and following him. And that's what happens. So it says choose life. So are you choosing life? Are you making wise choices? Are there things that are taking you away from following Jesus, taking you away from God? Are there things that are pulling you away into the world, into other pleasures, things that kind of satisfy in the moment but don't really last? Are there things that you're doing that are not good for you? Not good for your health, maybe. Or actually not good for you in your soul. Stir up things that are not healthy, not helpful in terms of living a godly life. Think about maybe what you read or what you watch or what you listen to. Things that control you that you can't stop doing, that you need. Every time I say something like, I need a coffee or I need a something, I think that's something that I need to make sure I can break, I can stop. So I deliberately choose things like that to have days where I don't have them so that they don't control me. Are there things that have a negative impact on those around you, people you live with, people you work with? Some things are a bit of a no-brainer. They're in the Bible, very black and white. So, for example, I don't know, it says, do not commit adultery. It's not really complicated. If you're tempted by somebody else's husband or wife, it's really not hard to know what you should do in that situation. But sometimes we allow our soul, our feelings, our I want to, our thoughts, to control our actions. That's not freedom. Other things are a bit more subtle. I wonder for you what those things are today. I'm just going to pause for a moment and let the Holy Spirit just speak to your heart about what those some of those things might be for you. Things that might get in the way of you being really close to God. There will be an opportunity at the end for you to talk to God about some of those things, to decide if you want to do something about those. You have a choice. For me, it's about knowing what my vulnerability is. So if there are things that I find unhelpful, that stir up passions that are not for Jesus, then maybe they need to go. So some films, I don't watch a lot of secular films. I don't read a lot of secular books anymore. I just find them unsatisfying. But I choose what I put into my head, especially just before I go to bed, actually. It can be really unhelpful. I choose to fill myself with more of God. Is that a bit extreme? Is that a bit like you're such a party pooper? Actually, no. It's more about how much do I want Jesus to show through my life? How much of Jesus do I want? It's about making more space for him. How often? So last week, Martin talked about that complete, total commitment. He talked about investing. What are you investing in? The reward that you get from your life with Jesus is in direct proportion to what you invest in it. In Matthew 22, Jesus was asked, "What's the greatest commandment in the law?" And he replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind," which is the first and the greatest commandment. And then he said, "To love your neighbor as yourself." Many of us can quote that bit. I'm not sure that I've reached walking in that completely yet. So if I just had that one to learn to obey, that would keep me going for a while. And in John 14, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And for many of us, that sounds like I have to prove I love Jesus by obeying him. I have to be good, is what many of us take from that. But actually, that's not it. And we go back to that love for us. When we receive that love for us, it enables us to love him. For those of you who are married, I'm not quite sure what your marriage looks like, but if you are in love with somebody, if you're passionate about somebody, you don't deliberately do things that you know upset them, that spoil the relationship, that get in the way of the relationship. And when we deliberately when we deliberately choose to do things that please ourselves and we know they don't please God, it has an impact on our relationship with Him. And it often hurts us as much as it hurts Him. We thought this morning about that coming into Jerusalem, knowing what He was going to do. He didn't go through all of that so that you could spend a couple of hours on a Sunday morning and tick off God in your life. There's so much more in Him. But it's not about blind obedience. It's not about I have to find out what God wants me to do in every single thing in my life. We had a guy who used to live with us when I was a teenager. I was not following God at that point, and I was not very tolerant of his developing faith. But I can remember asking him one morning if he wanted breakfast as he came in when I was cooking it. And he said, I'll just have to go and pray about it. I didn't give him a very grace-filled answer. Jesus came to free you from things that enslave you. Satan wants you to think that you can't trust your decisions. And the truth is, unless they're influenced by the Holy Spirit, unless you're close to God and you're close to His heart, sometimes our decisions are a bit flaky. But like couples who've been together a long time or friends who've known each other for a really long time, the closer you get to God, the more you know His heart, the more you know how He thinks, the more you know what He wants for you, the more you know where He wants to go, the more your decisions are likely to be in line with His as you receive that love of His and you walk together. Do you know this Father? Obedience is a freeing thing, not a burden. He knows best, and you can trust Him. The song says, doesn't it, that old song about trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And I was reminded of the Nike thing, just do it. But actually it doesn't sound easy sometimes, some of the things that God's asking us to do. And the key is in that trust and obey. There is a link between how much we choose to obey God, and it's linked to how much we trust Him. If we don't trust Him, we won't choose to obey Him. So we need to know who He is, who He really is, who He is to you, what He really thinks about you, what His plans are for you. When I first became a Christian, I dithered for a long, long time because I had a genuine fear that God would send me to Outer Mongolia. I wouldn't have a choice. He would just randomly send me. My belief was that He was like some kind of giant puppet master, some chess player up in the sky, moving people willy-nilly where He chose, and they didn't have any choice. I didn't know Him. I always have a choice. By the time, if He ever asked me to go to Outer Mongolia, He'd have spoken to my heart. I'd have known why He wanted me to go. He'd have given me a love for the people, and that would be something I'd want to do with Him. He doesn't send us like that just recklessly without involving us in the process. It was a lie that I believed about Him. And actually, when we believe lies about Him, it makes it really hard to trust Him and follow Him. I wonder what lies you believe this morning about your Father and what He thinks about you. Your Heavenly Father loves you, thinks you're amazing, wants to walk with you through life. He's not disappointed in you, and He's certainly not up here standing wagging His finger saying, you're not doing well enough, try harder. Sometimes when we look at what it asks us to do in Scripture, our immediate reaction is, I can't. It's too big, it's too hard. But actually the Bible says, yes, you can. Philippians 4:13 says we have the strength in Christ to do what we need to do. 2 Peter 1:3 says we have everything we need for life and godliness. And somebody that has been sending me email updates about her walking through her cancer at the moment has this tagline on the bottom of her emails, and it says, God's commands are made to the life of His Son in us and not to our human nature. What he commands may be humanly difficult, but behind our obedience is the all omnipotent power of God. Apparently it's an Oswald Chambers quote. It's because Jesus is in you that you can walk this life. If you are a Christian here this morning, when the spirit of the resurrected Christ took up residence in your heart, you gave up the right to behave like a mere man or a mere woman. You have immense power within you. Power to resist sin, power to obey, power to do incredible things in Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul tells off the Corinthian church for being merely human, for acting in a way that is merely human. And yet, how often do we use that excuse? I'm only human. It's normal, you know. It's normal to behave like this. It's normal to worry. It's normal to feel like this. It's normal to do this kind of behavior. But if you are a Christian here this morning, it's not normal. You are not normal. The fleshly person died and you became a new creation with the resurrected Christ, the Spirit of Christ living inside you. You can do amazing things, including be obedient to God. So when I was moving house, the world around me told me it was stressful. But actually, it doesn't have to be. Jesus doesn't say that I can have stress when I move house. That's not what it says in Scripture. So I batted that away all the time, and I had the most peaceful time, even though some of it was very short notice, and I moved not knowing where I was going. But it was fine, because God's got this. I'm frequently told that worrying about our kids is normal. It's not. God says, don't worry. So therefore, worry is not normal for a Christian. It sounds really hard. It sounds like it's impossible. It's not about, I'm not here to condemn this morning. I haven't reached it either. But I'm further along than I was. The encouragement this morning is that there's more. You can always come up higher. You can control how you respond to situations, how you allow your emotions to control or not control, your feelings, your want to. You have the Spirit of God inside you to give you grace and to help you. So those conversations that I've had in the past where people say to me, I couldn't help it, we fell in love. Or I can't help how I feel. It's normal to feel like this. And the feelings, yes, they come, but they don't have to dictate how you live. You can control how you act, whatever you feel. It sounds extreme, but then it was pretty extreme for Jesus to die on the cross for me too. So I think that the more I give to following him, the more awesome life gets. Actually, the freer I am, the more I surrender to him, the more I give to him, the freer I am. It doesn't make sense in my head, but in my heart, it makes lots of sense. And the more it begins to look like in your life how it was supposed to be in the garden, right back in the beginning in Eden. They did not have stress or worry or fear, anything like that at the very beginning. And that's how it's meant to be. And that's where we go back to. We go back to that relationship with the Father. We go back to walking like that when we know Jesus and we let him in. Success isn't measured by results or what you look like on the outside or how perfect everybody thinks you are. It's about obedience. It's about your heart. Where's your heart with God this morning? And this obedience is not limited, because Jesus came to set us free and he has no limitations. So if there's anything that's holding you back this morning, you can be free. We have unlimited resources within us to live this life. Actually, I don't think we have any comprehension of what resources we have to live this life. So this morning, are you settling for second best? There's nothing to fear in this life with Jesus. He loves you, and he has your best at heart. He has more for you. Satan would like to persuade us that he's a spoil sport, that he just wants to spoil our fun, that he wants to give us rigid rules and regulations, and it's all about the rules. It's not. That's a lie. So I wonder, has God asked you or prodded you to do something and you've ignored him? Has God given you things to use, gifts to use, that have slidden, that have been a bit battered by disappointments or discouragements, and you've stopped using them? Has God spoken and you've ignored it, not allowed it to change your heart or impact your life? I don't know about you, but some of the preachers we've had in the last couple of weeks have certainly spoken loud and clear to me. Is there something that you know that is not good in your life that you need to put out of your life? What is the Holy Spirit saying about it? It's not about me. It's not about what everybody else thinks. It's not about, well, everybody else does it. What does God think of it? Have you asked him? Sometimes he doesn't say what we want him to say. Are you living half in and half out of the kingdom? So you've said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Oh, but I want to follow these people. Yes, I want to follow Jesus. Oh, but I still want to do this. So it's like you've got a bit of Jesus added on, but you've not surrendered. Actually, when you try and live like that, it's incredibly frustrating, incredibly difficult, and isn't a life of freedom, isn't abundance, and you just end up miserable in it. He asks for all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, because he knows that's how you get the best from it. And this morning, have you heard his voice calling to you, saying, follow me? Why would you resist such an amazing love? I'll stop there.
Last few lines. Right. I think before the band even comes back, can you just stand, please?